Well, observation on theme discourses and other assignments that brethren get at convention. If you're the one receiving the assignment, you first get it, you might say, what am I going to say about that? But every time that's ever happened, we've always found it to be a rich blessing of study and understanding and revealment in the Lord's due time at the right time for us. And so with these thoughts behind us, we know it's been a blessing for Brother Laddie to prepare this service, and we look forward to it now. Brother Laddie, Lord bless you.
Thanks, Brother Rick and Brother Mike. Appreciate that very much. Brethren, first of all, I wanted to bring to you the love of the brethren in Central Ohio that we meet with. They all ask their love to be conveyed to you, especially Brother Ray and Sister Karen, Buckeye, Brother and Sister Gill, Brother and Sister Winsky, Brother David Wyant, and then from kind of like a hometown one close by here is Brother Jordan and Sister Bethany. Sister Alnita is with us, and we appreciated having her fellowship on the way, and we had a really, with the Watkins, we had just a wonderful convention on the way here, and yes, we did talk a lot, and yes, we did miss an exit or two as we were talking. It's those questions that will get you every time. I'm going to do something that I've done many times before. I'm going to depart from what's on the screen just for a second and say, why is it that you would want the love of our Lord Jesus and His Father? Why is it? When we think about the hymn that we just sang, it's a consecration hymn. And brethren, as we prepare to partake of this memorial this year, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Jesus, I my cross have taken. All. A-L-L, to leave and follow thee. That's what it's about. And so when we think about why we want the love of our Lord and the love of His Father, our Father, it's because we want to have part in our Father's plan of blessing all the families of the earth. If ye keep my commandments, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. I don't know why the S has decided to depart on that, but they did. This text is very much a harvest text. I know that we don't like to talk about the negative, but in reality, this starts out by laying a groundwork, a foundation that says, if you do this, this will happen. Next slide, please. That's the word if. That's what this is all going to be about as we proceed on down through there. Okay? The pastor says that love with an if in it means love that is conditional. Have you ever thought about our Father's love as being conditional? It is for the church class. It is conditional because of something. Next slide. John, the 10th chapter and the 17th verse. Therefore does my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. These are the words of our Lord. And he was saying there that my Father loves me because I've done something. If I chose to go a different route, if the Lord chose to go a different route, that love of his Father would not be there. And he answers it in the 17th verse by saying that it's because I lay down my life for the brethren, that I might take it up again. Next slide. In John, the 14th chapter, in the 21st verse, and in the 23rd verse, we read, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. The first thing we note about this particular text is the fact that this is all based upon, the foundation of it is of having his commandments. You have to have them in order to keep them. And if you have them, and if you keep them, now we have two ifs, then you will be loved by me, and you'll also be loved by his Father, our Lord's Father. The last part of this text says that the Heavenly Father will do something. Not only will he say he loves you, but he'll put that love into action. He will manifest himself unto you. In reference to that particular point, we might mention the fact that I'm having problems here. I gotta get my book. Working with too many things here. That when it says that he will manifest himself unto you, that action reminds me of the 17th chapter of John. Remember our Lord's prayer. He specified in that prayer that the difference between the disciples, those that the Father had given him and that he had kept, and the rest of the nation of Israel, as the case may be, because that's who he was dealing with, the difference was the fact that they had come to know the Father. The Father had manifested himself to them through our Lord. In the 23rd verse, we read, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Stop there for a moment. Now, the table is being turned a little bit, you could say. Here, it's not that the Father loves you because of what you do. Here, it is not because the Father loves our Lord because of what he did. But now he's turned the tables and he's saying, if a man love me, now it's our responsibility. This brings it back to us. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. The word commandment now comes down to my words. And I will come in unto him and make my abode with him. We have to ask ourselves the question, what are the words of our Lord? And I'm going to suggest to you that it's the entire testimony of the Scriptures the entire testimony of the Scriptures. Remember, from the very beginning, it says, even as I have kept my Father's commandments. Now, if you think about that from that standpoint, what did our Lord do? Well, you constantly find it said that it might be fulfilled what was written in the Scriptures, in the Old Testament. Our Lord did those things. He fulfilled every prophecy that related to Him precisely and exactly. He kept the Father's words. And likewise, this seems to indicate that we are to keep our Lord's word. Next. The next text here, let's go to the next screen. The next text brings out the aspect of friends. We have the thought of the if, we have the thought of the love, we have the thought of the commandments, and now the thought of being friends. We remember Abraham and how he was a friend of God. And God did not hide from Abraham the things that he would do. And here you have the thought that has been expressed that he will manifest himself to us, that he'll come in and abide with us. The thought is that he will teach us. And here you have the thought that if ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. This is the words of our Lord saying this. What is it that we're to do? This is a relationship that is very close, a relationship as it expressed of being a friend. But it's conditional. And the condition is that we take and do what He says we should do. Our Lord does for us. He manifests Himself to us. Our Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the things that I do? And the answer, of course, was no, He did not hide from Abraham. Remember John, the 8th chapter, in the 56th verse, He says that Father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Now, can you picture that? Did he have a video projector? No, he didn't have a video projector. But he looked forward from the promises and was able to see in his mental vision the Lord's day. And so what is it that you are going to do? Next slide. The scripture found in John, the 15th chapter and the 13th verse, is that greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. What is it that you and I need to do? We need not only to give up every right that we have in consecration, but daily we are to fulfill that covenant by laying down our life for the world. It's called the sin offering. Next slide, please. Next slide. Okay. This is my covenant, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And Brother Jim brought to our attention this morning the fact that love is the final test. But let's talk about that love just for a minute. This text of Scripture states that this love that we're talking about is laying down your life for one another. This is not talking about the carnal, as it were, love, the daily emotional love that we have one for another. This is the love of a complete sacrifice. It's a love of a sacrifice that daily takes into consideration what goal you want to accomplish. That goal, of course, is the restitution of the world to mankind. Your Father has this wonderful plan. This wonderful plan that has the purpose that mankind will take and suffer every experience that is absolutely positively necessary for them. And at the end of it, based upon those experiences and you sharing in like experiences, you will be able to take and teach them and lead them up the highway of holiness. The joy that you and I have, brethren, in loving our Father is the joy of having part in completing the last portion of the creative work. That shivers up my spine. I don't know about you, but the privilege of fulfilling the last part of it. Think that if we are faithful, we will be there when the Lord, our Father, takes, our Lord turns the kingdom over to the Father, and the Father will say, "It's very good." Just as he did at the end of the other six creative days. If we're faithful, we'll be there. What rejoicing there will be. This is a love that is spoken of in this text of Scripture. Next slide. The thought here in this text of Scripture is that all men shall know you. If ye have one love for one another. Brethren, this goes far beyond the concept of simple respecting one another. Far beyond the concept of simply having a fellowship together. This says that they will know that we are his disciples if we love one another. What does it mean? How do you become a disciple of our Lord? I have 7 steps here for you. The first one, and I'm going to have to step out here because I changed this morning. None will know that we are his disciples unless we have turned our back on sin. How many times have you heard it said that he is no example of a believer? Not a good basis. If we practice sin, we do not love our Father. If we practice sin, there's going to be a little chance that we're going to be part of the bride of Christ. We have to turn our back on sin. It's the first step towards consecration. And if we go back out into the camp, there's no hope for us. The second one is that we recognize that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Anointed, as the only way back into fellowship with God. And we think of the tabernacle once again of approaching that gate. Not only turning your back on sin, and saying, "I don't want to have any part of it." But you have to accept Christ as your sacrifice for sin. It's the only way back into that fellowship. Number 3. Must
Believe.
Must believe. You know that word believe is Strong's 4201. And it means that you must have a system of gospel truth. We'll get into that a little bit later on. But you must believe. Next slide. Not only must you believe, but you must hold up that righteousness of Christ before those that are in the world or in the camp, which represents the linen curtain that goes around. It goes back to the principle of not practicing sin. You also must hold up that righteousness. You have that responsibility. Next slide. You must consider the privilege of the sin offering. Now we're looking at the brazen altar and what's on the brazen altar. The brazen altar itself represents the ransom in copper. But what is on that brazen altar and the privilege of being partakers of or part of participating in the sin offering is a must in our steps towards becoming his disciples. Next slide. You must wash at the laver. The Word of God is there for that purpose. But with all this, we're not there yet. We're still not one of the Lord's disciples. Next slide. The last requirement. No, not quite. You must give your heart, your life, with all its rights to the Lord. Your right to perfect human life, your right to all your inheritance. It's a requirement in order to become a disciple. And then we have number 8, which is not something that you or I can do. Must be sanctified by God. If you look at the forewords to the volume, specifically the 6th volume, it says there that the understanding that the pastor came to and wanted to bring to our attention in 1916 was a difference in the thought that that step has to be on the part of the Father, of him sanctifying you, of him taking your justified life and allowing you, as it were, to go into the holy condition as a spirit-begotten Son of God. You must be sanctified by God. You have the ability. Every individual has the ability to sanctify themselves, that is, set themselves apart from the world. But only the Father can sanctify you and give you the privilege of entering into the holy. And in the holy, brethren, in the holy, you are now a disciple of Christ. Next. And down here in the bottom, we have the thought that if you keep these instructions, and if the Father sets you apart, then you are one of his disciples, his students, his servants. Then, in the holy, you can eat of the table showbread. Then you will have open to you, through the light of the golden candlesticks, all that is found in the Scriptures. And I call your attention to the words of our pastor in the first volume, next to the last page, where he says, no system of theology has ever attempted to harmonize in itself every Scripture in the Bible. Yet nothing short of this do we claim for the views herein presented. There you have open to you the understanding of the 66 books of the Bible represented as the showbread, on the table. There, finally, you can be said to be a disciple of our Lord. Now, as we think about loving our Father and being loved by Him, and our Lord loving all those the Father gives Him, it's interesting that we think about the position that our Lord is in now with divine nature, with immortality. Still, it is only those that the Father gives to Him that He has to work with. Do you think our Lord has confidence in the decisions that our Father makes? I think so. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? This is what we must do. We must be baptized into His death. To die for the same purpose, the same cause. For this cause came He into the world. And for that reason, we too must be baptized into His death. Next text. We enter into a covenant of sacrifice. In the morning resolve, we read, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord for grace to help. I will pay my vows unto the Most High." And then it goes on to say, "Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and these are the things I will do. I will strive to be simple and sincere toward all. I will seek not to please and honor self, but always the Lord. I'll be careful to honor the Lord with my lips, that my words may be unctuous and blessed to all. I will seek to be faithful to the Lord." No small matter. No small matter, brethren. "I will seek to be faithful to the Lord in the covenant that I have made with Him." The truth. I will seek to be faithful to the truth. I will seek to be faithful to the truth. Very important. Without doing that, you're not being faithful to our Father. He says, "Trusting myself to divine care and the providential overruling." That's probably the hardest. For a speaker that is up here in front of you, we're very concerned about our responsibility of serving. We need to trust. I need to trust. Let's go on to the next slide. Matthew 19:20-21. It says, "Jesus said unto them, If thou wilt be perfect..." This is interesting. "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell thou that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." Here is a young man that came to our Lord and said, "I've done everything. Well, at least I thought I did everything. What more do I need to do in order to be your disciple?" There's a cost involved in this. And loving our Lord and loving our Father requires that we give up everything. In Revelation, it is referred to as cutting off our head. Think about it. Think about the illustration. It removes all the thinking, the ideas, the concepts, the hopes, the aims that we have. Full consecration. Next slide. It requires death. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. There again you have this thought of if. If ye be dead with him, ye shall also live with him. We don't like the judgment that it has. But it's plain and simple. Absolute faithfulness was required of our Lord. And therefore, we go back to our original text that says that we are to keep our Lord's commandments as he kept our Father's commandments. The responsibility is great. And when we partake of the cup, we think of that responsibility and think of the fact that we have vowed to do that very thing. Let's talk about, next slide please. Let's talk about faith. We mentioned there that it comes from a Greek word from 4102. Correct myself on that. 4102. Next slide. We think of Hebrews 11 chapter in the 6th verse. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. And we'll stop right there. Without faith it is impossible to please God. This is another statement that is very similar to our theme text. If you want to please God, you have to have faith. Well, faith is some mysterious thing. It isn't. Faith is not a mysterious thing. Faith is, next slide. This 4102 brings out the fact, if we go down there in the underlying section, by extension, it means that this is a system of religious gospel truth itself. That's what faith is. A system, not one doctrine. You hear many of our Christian friends say, all you have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Quoting from Acts. This says that if you want to please God, you must have this system of religious gospel truth. Religious gospel truth. System. The whole system of it. And again, next slide, I refer to you to that next to last page that I referred to before, and it says, and be it known that no other system of theology even claims or has ever attempted to harmonize in itself, every statement of the Bible, yet nothing short of this can we claim for these views. Talking about that which is presented in your concluding thoughts of volume 1. There's your system of gospel faith. And I submit to you, brethren, it's also the one of the strongest evidence that we have that Charles Taze Russell was the seventh messenger. No person could claim this without lying. And so you have to claim that either Brother Russell was a liar or he was indeed the seventh messenger. And for me and my house, we believe that he was that seventh messenger. Next slide here. It talks about the unity of faith. Till we all come into the unity of the faith. Here you have the thought that we must come to the unity of this system of religious gospel truth. Remember, without faith, without this faith, you cannot be pleasing to the Heavenly Father. Ephesians 4:13. Just a thought, and that is that in Isaiah we read, come, let us reason together, and we have these things here. Next slide. One of the things that are required of you as far as the commandments, and I'd like to maybe change that word just for a moment so that we could possibly understand it a little bit better. Change it to one of the instructions, or of the instructions of our Lord, is that we must study. And the scriptures tell us that all scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. There's a lot in this text of scripture, and I'd like to talk a lot more about it. But specifically, unless you study these things, unless you make them your own, unless they harmonize, are in a perfect harmony with the Father's plan, you're not going to be pleasing to Him, and you're not going to be abiding in His love. It just isn't, it isn't possible to have the two. This text of Scripture brings us down to the bottom line. The bottom line says this, that you might be furnished, thoroughly furnished, unto all good works. Now tell me, brethren, what have you learned is the good works of our Father? The seventh creative day was given for the very purpose of preparing mankind for the restitution of all things. First page of the first volume, the very first page, the frontest page, tells you that the divine plan of the ages has the purpose of vindicating our Father's name and government, and that the permission of evil has the purpose of preparing mankind for the golden age of prophecy wherein man might be blessed. The scriptures are given to us for the purpose of preparing us for the good work of bringing the world of mankind forth from the grave, up the highway of holiness to perfection, so that the Father can say, it is very good. And so that mankind can live every experience. And because we live in such a small world, our own world, it's hard to remember what this good work for you and I is. Next text. Romans 12, 1 and 2 brings out the aspect that we are to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. We are constantly to keep in mind the world that is yet future for the world of mankind. To the extent that we do that, then we will be able to be more faithful in the covenant that we have done made with our Father. And the possibility of us of fulfilling that covenant will be even greater. The next slide says that we have to hold fast to the profession of your faith. If our faith is the Word of God, and if our faith is this divine plan in essence, we need to hold fast to that, because that's what it's going to be all about. That's going to be the end result of it. And to the extent that we do not hold fast to that profession, then surely we will not that much be a part of it. Next. There. Part of our Lord's words is that we are to pray without ceasing. And the thought here is that our mind might always be in tune with this. To the extent that we communicate with our Father, to that extent, we can listen to what He would have us to do. And this communication with our Heavenly Father is important, because if we miss a meeting with Him, we'll probably miss the instructions for that day. Once we have learned, next text, once we have learned what the Father would have us to do, why would you hold it in? Why would you keep it to yourself? And so we don't want to hide our light under a bushel. We are to let it so shine. And that's the thought of the next slide, too. And the next slide. I think this is very important. When we think of the instructions of our Lord, He said that He prayed not only for those that were there, His disciples that the Father had given Him, but He also prayed for all those that would believe on Him through their words. And so the Apostle tells us here that in 1 Thessalonians that we 5:11, that we are to comfort yourself together by edifying one another. You can't edify if you cut off a relationship with them. I understand that there are times, brethren, and I have a note on there, it was supposed to be erased, and it didn't get erased there. For whatever it may be worth, brethren, get a chance to listen to Brother Bob Wiggins' discourse from Seattle. It was very, very good. That was what that note was on there for, and I was supposed to erase it. I didn't. The point of it is when we get together, you can use that time for the blessing of the individuals that you're meeting with by asking them questions, by discussing things spiritual, by helping them in their walk as new creatures. Or you can help them in their getting along in the world, as the case may be. Constantly remind one another of the purpose for which you have consecrated your life to. Constantly remind one another of the covenant that you have made. More than that, constantly remind one another of the joy of being with your Father when He says, "It is very good." I covered that point. We'll go on. This one here we also talked about, but specifically I would like to draw your attention to the fact that it is a commandment or an instruction. I think the word instruction is better in this case here. It is instruction that you should provoke unto love. And when I talk about provoking unto love, you're talking about giving up your life, laying down your life in sacrifice. You are to provoke one another to do this, to lay down your life in sacrifice, and to provoke one another to understand and appreciate the privilege of the good work that is ahead of you. That brings us to the thought here of oneness. 17th chapter of John again. Remember he says, I pray that they may be one as thou art in me and I in thee, that they may be one in us. This oneness that Jesus prayed for, this oneness that Jesus wanted us to have, is this 100% harmony between the Father and his plan and his purpose of blessing all the families of the earth. That's the oneness that he talked about. To be one with our Lord and with our Heavenly Father in his thinking and in working out of his plan. It's a tall order. But we can only do it if we keep his commandments or his instructions. Next. He goes on to say, finally, be ye all one man or a mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Be ye all of one mind. I don't believe that this is possible to accomplish unless we have fully in our hearts and mind the plan of God as has been laid down by our pastor. I just don't think it's possible. Maybe others think it is. I don't. But specifically, it's having compassion on one another. Understanding that as we walk in this way, we might not all be in the same place at the same time. Leave room for growth is another statement. And we want to do that. Next slide. In the 17th chapter, again we read, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep thou thine own name, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. And that is our desire. That they may be one. That they may be one. We want to be one with our Father. And now we're going to have to move ahead here because our chairman is here. Again, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who meditated not a usurpation to be like God, but humbled himself and became obedient even unto death. We must be obedient even unto our sacrificial death. Next. Walk worthy. We have the seven walks of Ephesians that we could go into specifically. But we were to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Was your calling to be part of this world? No. Our calling is to go outside of this world and to bring this world of mankind up the highway of holiness, as we said. Next. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as Gentiles. Another one of the walks, okay? Walk in love. And we're talking about not human love. We're talking about agape love, the love of God. Next. Walk as children of light. You've been given the light. You've been given an understanding of God's plan. Walk according to it. Walk in circumspectly. See that none of you walk circumspectly, not as see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Next, endure chastening is another one of the instructions of our Lord. Then we're to drink of the cup. I'm not talking about just the symbolic cup that we will drink of on Tuesday night, but we're to daily drink of this cup that the Lord has poured for us. And we think of our Lord at the time
of of his death. Next. Drink ye all of it. And that means unto death. Next. We're to be broken, daily broken with the Lord. And we think of the meaning of the bread. And again, our participation of what it means of daily being broken with our Lord. This is my body, which is broken for you. Next. I think that of all the instructions of our Lord, in Matthew, the 24th chapter, he gives us a list. And it's a list of things that you should notice, that you should be aware of, that you should appreciate. And one of the things he said was, who then is? It's a question that's being asked you. You should know. And why should you know who that faithful and wise servant is? Why should you know? Because that's who's going to cook for you. That's the one who's going to provide you meat in due season. You need to know who he is. If you miss that one, if you're not at that meeting, as case may be, then you're not going to know where to go for your spiritual food. If you don't understand that this is the faithful and wise servant, the end results of it is you won't look for your spiritual food for the new creature from that source. Our Lord's doctrine is not his own. It's his Father's. Can we say the same? Do we have the Father's doctrines? If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether he speaketh of himself. Next. I think that says it all. It's going to cost you something. Next. Tell he come. Tell I come. Give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. It is the instructions of our Lord. Because doctrine will save you. And the scripture says enough. Next. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and in doctrine. And you know, each one in the ecclesia are the ones who determine as to how they are going to eat for the next year, 6 months, year, whatever your election term is. So the responsibility really comes back to you. And I think that that's what this text of scripture is. Next. There's a warning. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrines of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrines of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So the doctrines are very important. The instructions, the commandments are very instructions. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither abide or bid him Godspeed. If you are to be wheat, if you are to be wheat, keep his word, keep the word of his instructions. That's the bottom line behind our theme text of our scripture. And with that, we'll ask the Lord's blessing.
Thank you, Brother Laddie, for sharing your thoughts on the theme text with us. We appreciate that very much.
And Brother Laddie has the closing hymn going to be on the screen for us, Abide With Me 'Tis Eventide. It's not in our red books. And then on the last verse, we'd like to rise, if you're able. And Brother Laddie will dismiss us with prayer, and we'll reconvene in about 25 minutes for the harvest testimonies, about 3:30.
Father, we come into thy hallowed presence, praying for thy presence with us, praying for thy son's presence with us, praying for thy instructions, praying for his instructions, Father, that we might learn more of how we should walk and how we can be faithful to the covenant that we have made with thee. And where we fall short, Father, we ask thy forgiveness. But more than ever, we ask for thy presence with us, and thy guidance, thy spirit, thy power, and influence in our life. In the name, the precious and loving name of Jesus. Amen.